you, Lord God, for the supply of your Spirit that is in our sisters that have come forth tonight to speak your word. Lord God, it is a supply of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we bring together to this body, Lord God, bringing these testimonies, bringing, Lord, seeing you are our Father who is in heaven. We love you, God. You are holy. You are good, Lord. We love you. We thank you. I pray if there's anyone here who does not know you as their Father, they would come to know you tonight, oh God, and that your children who are doubting and they question who you are and they question if you love them, that you would, through these testimonies, through that prayer you've even given us, our Father, this intimate relationship would become implanted within their hearts, would become a tree of life to them, and would grow even more and more, that they would not doubt your love. They would not doubt your care. They would look to Calvary. They'd see the gospel. They'd see Christ. They'd say, there's no doubt in my mind, my God loves me. And God, tonight, just for those who just really need that reminder, I pray, Father, for your glory, that you would speak to them in a way that is unique between you and them, and that you would just confirm your love to them, and they would know, because it gives you glory that your children know that you are our Father in heaven. That's the way we're supposed to pray. On those grounds, God, we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to encourage you tonight, just for a couple of minutes. I'm really excited because I was actually meditating on the Lord's Prayer. And I was thinking and I was preparing and I was like, should I share about something from the Lord's Prayer tonight as part of what I was going to say? And I just looked at it and I just felt like I just don't think I'm supposed to. And it's just awesome. That's my wife right there. That's my wife. And she was just speaking to us from the Lord's Prayer. I didn't tell her that. She didn't know that. That's just awesome. God is moving. And, you know, we advance through prayer. The church advances. It's one of the main ways that we, as a group of people, advance as the church. It's through prayer. Can someone turn off that baptismal for me, that heater? I hear it going in the background. Thank you. It's going to drive me nuts. I can't turn it off. But life, it proceeds from the Father, right? Where do we get life from? What did Jesus say? I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He said, and I always reflect back to it in my life, he is a vine, right? He's the vine, and we're branches. And what does the vine give to the branches? Life. So whenever we were born again, he came to live in us. And so that means in us is what? And us is life, and the life is from the Father. It's from the Son. It's from the Holy Spirit. That is the life of God within us. So when we come here, the potential is magnificent. Not because of us, but because of the God who is in us. The God who said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. All life dwells in us. Potential. That life must become actual. Do you know what I mean? It's like kinetic energy. There's a ball, a bowling ball, it's right here, and I'm going to drop it on a can full of pudding, right? Going to make a really cool video for Instagram reel or something like this. And so the potential is there, the energy is there in that, but it's never confirmed, it's never actual until I drop it, and then you see the cool thing that happens afterwards, right? Well, the life of God within us, much cooler and much more amazing than that, is within us. The life that created this entire universe and spoke it to existence is in us at a prayer meeting. And every single one of us at a prayer meeting. And two of our sisters tonight let that life forward in a prayer meeting. And what did it do? It advanced God's kingdom. In my life, in your life, somebody here tonight has been changed, has been touched, has been comforted, has been helped. My own life, the prayer meeting moved forward because the life and the body and the life advances the church also through prayer. You know, a spiritual life of a church can be directed by a pastor or the leadership, but they can never create it. It's in you. It's in every single one of us. All of us have a part to play, like the body. If one part stops functioning, if it doesn't give blood to the other part, if something happens, the nerves aren't sending the signals, it falls short. It's not able to do all it's supposed to do. And I want to talk about that with the prayer meeting. You have a river inside of you. I have a river inside of me in this local church. It's like the Mississippi River. It carries great loads of shipment from the Gulf of Mexico all the way to St. Louis, Missouri, and Illinois, in the heart of our country. But it is fed by all of the tributaries. And a prayer meeting is like that for a church. We are going to be dry within ourselves whenever we come here, and we'll have very little to give to the rest of the body whenever we gather together in prayer. Because maybe we've neglected, maybe we've been busy, for whatever reason, no condemnation, but we should never want that to be the norm of a dryness. We should want that this stream would be full. This stream would be full when I come to the prayer meeting, so that all of these streams would come together, and whatever God wants us to do will be done, because I am letting Him have His way in my life. I'm letting Him speak to me. And then when we come in this place, I bring in what I've heard in the secret place. I've heard that secret thing from God, not some strange thing, but just something from the Word of God that brings life to me. And now I bring it here. Maybe I'll testify about it tonight, or maybe I won't. Or maybe there's a word of knowledge that life is in you and God is stirring you. He's nourishing that life within you. And we bring it to the prayer meeting, or we don't bring it to the prayer meeting. You ever been in a conversation, you were there, but you just were not there? And then like, you know, a day, two later, don't you remember I told you that? You never told me that. Come on, don't you remember I told you that? Oh, you weren't really there. And that can happen in the prayer meeting too, where you're there, but you're not really there. And if you're there, but you're not really there, you're not contributing life. We need life. We believe that God has joined us together as a body all over this earth through the blood of Jesus, the work on the cross, to His church. But we also believe that He has joined us together to a local church. That's what makes church membership so important. You're saying, I am binding my life to these people, and I'm with them, they're with me. If I go into something, my wife goes into something, I know I can call on Sarah, and she's going to help my wife. We are together in this. We are members together. And God knows that. He knew there were going to be local bodies. It's not enough for just a few people to get up here and testify, one person to pray in tongues, speak in tongues, another person to interpret. No, Paul said, I wish that you all would do this. I wish that you would all let these gifts of the Spirit flow for the edification of the body. And in the prayer meeting, would to God that all of us would come prepared for the prayer meeting, so that when we get there, we can pray. Not that we have to put on a performance or a show or jump so high, but whenever we're there, we just say, yes, I'm coming to be with my Father who is in heaven, with my brothers and my sisters. And you know, prayer is a marvelous gift. Marvelous. The God of the universe. I get to have a one-on-one with Him. And I get to have a group session with Him as well. Speaking to our Father. We as one voice, as one body, get to lift up one voice from First New Testament Church or First Baptist or wherever anyone may be from. They get to lift up one voice as that body of believers to their Father, because He has a unique purpose and a calling on our individual lives. But we in our culture often only look at the individual rather than the group. Rather than the corporate, rather than this family of God. And we always say like, oh, I didn't get to speak tonight. I want to be the person who does this. Rather than, can we be the church who does this? And if my brother or sister has the gift, what can I do to make sure that that gift can function? And that same mindset, we want to bring that to the prayer meeting, where we do have our own personal needs met, where we get to pour out our personal frustrations and questions and everything. But then whenever that is taken care of, that we come and we assist the body, and then we can get to the place where we proclaim an acquired phrase, you're worthy, you're good, you're holy. And then God speaks back, my children, I love you. Or He just comes up here and He provides direction. Or a testimony comes forward. And even in that, that's the voice of God saying, go to the harvest. There's going to be growth. Go to LSU. Go to the internationals. And God is speaking not just to one or two or three, but as a body. In the prayer meeting, the church advances. The kingdom of God advances. That is what God wants. And I want to give you some encouraging examples. We're all familiar with Acts 2, right? Okay, so Jesus has risen from the dead. And in His post-resurrection ministry, 40 days after He's risen from the dead, He's ministering to His disciples. 10-day period of time. He goes up, He says, wait for the day of Pentecost. He comes, He moves, He baptizes them with the Holy Spirit. They go, and what happens from a prayer meeting proceeds the advancement of the kingdom of God. 3,000 are saved. But in Acts 4, chapter 18, Acts chapter 4, verse 18 to 25, it says, this is whenever Peter and John, they have just healed a lame man. 5,000 people got saved because they preached the gospel, and they got in trouble with the religious leadership. So this is what happened. The Jewish leadership didn't like it. They already put Jesus to death. That shows you how they feel about Jesus. Anyone who wants to speak in Jesus' name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to the God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And they go on saying this, basically, we won't shut up. We can't shut up. We just can't. We cannot. But what happened then? Where did they go? They went to a prayer meeting. You know, some people have problem getting together with the church to pray. Prayer shouldn't be public. Oh, prayer's a private thing. In what culture or nation? In America, that is not. Do not say, "I'm American," and go, "Zoop, I'm going to read my American culture into the Bible." No. You read the culture of the Bible. You're reading about family units. You're reading about something completely different. Don't put your American or my American stuff on there. We need each other. We are desperate for each other. We're in a warfare. They went to a prayer meeting. Verse 23 says, when they were released, they went to their friends. Somebody say, their friends. You need friends. I need friends in the house of God. No, I didn't say, "Hey, brother. Hey, sister, good to see you. Go sit down." No, you need friends. Because only friends can really enter into the fray of battle with you. And if we don't become friends within this family, and I'm not saying that we're not, but as we become more friends, then it can be said of us when we come to a prayer meeting and there's something going on in someone's life, or someone gets diagnosed with a brain tumor or cancer, or someone's relatives committed suicide, we go to our friends. We go to our friends. And what happens then? They reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they is the friends, when they heard what happened to these two, they lifted their voices together. Can you say it with me? They lifted their voices. How? Together. Say together. So when we come to the prayer meeting, we need to lift our voices. How? Together. Hallelujah. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, it goes on. Now, Lord, look upon their threats, verse 29, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, signs, wonders performed. And when they had prayed, say it, please. They had prayed. They, plural, the friends, the people together, the place which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. My prayer closet is great. I can't live life without my personal prayer closet. But I have never personally had my prayer closet shaken. Okay? I've been shaken in the sense of internally. My life has been shaken. My heart's been shaken. Things that I had affection for were shaken. But that place was shaken in a prayer meeting, a corporate prayer meeting. And what did they do? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The church advanced through a prayer meeting. When Peter was in jail, they were going to kill him. Guess what happens? There's a prayer meeting going on. There's a group prayer meeting going on. Hallelujah. If I can just find that reference real quick, I'm so excited. It says Herod was about to kill him. You see, Peter didn't even know what was going on. He thought he was just having a vision. He thought, "Wow, I'm loosed. Wow, this is amazing. Go through one door, go through another door, come to the gate. It's open. Go down a street. The angel leaves him. He's like, "Oh wow, I really am out of jail." Where did he go? Where did he go then? When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. The prayers of those people together loosed Peter. And where did he go? He went to a prayer meeting. And when he knocked at the door, they didn't even believe him. Through a prayer meeting, do you know what God did? He preserved Peter's life. But can I tell you something? What else he also did? 1 Peter and 2 Peter had never been written. They weren't written for another 20 years when this happened. Through a prayer meeting of people, the books of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and the Gospel of Mark. Mark got his information from Peter. our gospel in two epistles. We're saved for us through a prayer meeting. What does God want to do through our prayer meetings? If he should tarry one generation, two generations, 100 or 200 years, how many millions of souls might be bound up in our prayers, not just individually, but as a church? How many missionary movements are in here? How many people on LSU who have never heard the gospel? Or right now with Ramadan, would to God that many Muslims would see, I no longer have to work. And the scale of righteousness and unrighteousness, not knowing whether Allah, who is said to be a good, shrewd businessman, who's more shrewd than all the businessmen, will on the day of judgment tip the scale against me and send me to a fiery eternity forever. They could know the living Christ, who paid once and for all the debt, who purchased us debt and everything and took it to the cross. From a prayer meeting, we will advance, we will be filled, we will be bold, and we will help each other. I just want to encourage us when we come to the prayer meeting to be together. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. I want to encourage us, let's not make excuses to stay away from the prayer meeting. But you're here. Let's not make excuses to stay back in the prayer meeting. Whether you decide to pray in your seat or come into this altar, all we really care is this. We would be engaged. We'd be active. We'd be talking to the Lord together because God wants to do things in our prayer meeting. If you just begin to play, I just want to invite y'all to come forward in this prayer meeting. And look, the rest of the time that we have tonight, it is just that. It is going to be a prayer meeting. Let's come together. Let's war together. Let's talk to God. And we've already heard his voice. We've heard it through countless messages, through countless sermons over several years, that we would worship him and praise him, walk in the grace of God, go to the harvest. How are we going to do it? By stirring ourselves up? By listening to one more David Platt sermon? Praise God for a good David Platt sermon. But here, together, as the church, praying and advancing and being filled by and sent out by the Lord God. God, we need you when we're tired. We need you when we're not motivated. We need you when we've sinned against you. Lord, you taught us to pray, forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, there's room, there's forgiveness for the fallen believer. Even in the middle of the week, even if it's not the grossest sin, but you're staying back, come forward and just simply say, God, I repent. God, show me if I need to make it right with anyone. I'm pressing forward in prayer. I'm coming forward in prayer. I want to be where the family is, where my friends are. Help us, Lord. God is here. Thank you, Jesus.